From the Midas Roseburg studio, KQEN weather sunny this afternoon, the high of 63. Increasing clouds tonight down to 40. Friday, 70% chance of rain likely, cloudy and 49. 90% chance of rain on Friday night with the snow level dropping to 1,900 feet. On Saturday, it's rain, then turning to showers with a high of 49. And on Sunday, patchy freezing fog early, then sunny and a high of 52. Temperature rising fairly rapidly at this point. We're at 56 degrees now. KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We are continuing to follow what's happening, or in some cases not happening, in Salem with the Oregon State Legislature and the Republican walkout that took place over a week ago. Wanted to get an update, and especially today, a bit of potential movement. We're joined by the Senate Republican leader, Herman Bertschinger, a Grants Pass Republican. And Herman, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. Thanks for inviting me.
So talk about the statement both you and your colleague in the House put out in the last couple of hours with an offer to return on Sunday.
Well, now that the possibility of that carbon tax, commonly known as cap and trade bill, the time limit has passed to pass that, we're willing to return to the Capitol and pass legislation that meets the intent of the short session, such as budget bills, rebalance the budget, and some fixes to legislation. You know, this short session was never intended for this major policy work. Never was. It was never sold to the voters that way. And you certainly, this is a great example how you cannot work on huge policy in 35 days.
Now, it's been back and forth between the Republicans and Democrats throughout the session. And we've talked to folks on both sides of the aisle here. From the Republican perspective, explain maybe for folks coming from you, your reasoning and your belief as to why the walkout needed to take place.
Well, being in the super minority, I call it, you don't have the ability to stop this hideous legislation. And we had 28 counties, Kyle, 28 counties that gave resolutions saying they are adamantly opposed of this legislation. So that's all of our districts, too, that Republicans represent. So the only tool in the toolbox was to deny quorum. I mean, we tried to put so many amendments. There's 67 amendments to this legislation, and the Democrats would never accept any of our amendments, any of our ideas. It was their way or the highway, so we chose the highway.
And what's the response you've been hearing from folks in your district about that move?
Oh, in my district there, you know, I mean, I get a few emails here or there from people, I don't know if they live in my district, that say, oh, you got to go do your job. But as far as in my district, people are overwhelming supporting our caucus. It's unbelievable the support that we got here down in Josephine and Jackson County.
So now you've made the offer. Have you heard a response yet from the Democrats?
You know, they seem to be in disarray for whatever reason. I think here's kind of what I think. So during the budget process, they put a whole bunch of treats in there and a lot of big projects for Republicans. And I think they did that because they figured if we denied quorum, that they can use those huge bags of money to try to peel off a couple of us and get us back in the building. Well, that didn't work. We all held strong, and now we're willing to work on budgets, but the Democrats, they don't want those budgets to pass. So I think it's going to be very unlikely that they're going to have us back on Sunday to pass any budget stuff.
So I'm talk about procedural sort of procedural things. Could the if the Democrats don't invite or whatever term you want to use the Republicans to come back, can you show up or would you show up anyway?
Well, that could be. I don't know. That's a discussion for the caucus, and we've got to talk about it. Sunday at midnight, the session's over. Nobody can do anything about it. So things are interesting right now. And like I said, I think the Democrats are in disarray. They don't know what to do.
And obviously with the legislation that is out there, and there are things, including topics like some flood aid for Eastern Oregon over in Pendleton and a lot of different budget items. Now, if the session is adjourned without both sides coming back together and getting through these policy and budget bills that you feel the short session was designed for, the governor has said at some point she might call a special session back, but that starts a process on everything back at zero, and even routine things, you'd have to go back through all the regular processes of getting through committees and passing both chambers and reports and all that kind of thing. So that poses some interesting questions as to whether that would take place as well.
Yeah, you know, I really think they're shining some light on how dysfunctional the management of our state is right now. It's pretty bad. And a special session has to be limited to a specific thing. So you can't just have another session because you want to have a session. You've got to, the governor's got to point to one single reason. So I don't know. I just shake my head, Kyle. I cannot, you know, I don't have a lot to say on how Oregon is being managed, but by golly, I do got a front row seat.
What's it been like to be in leadership during this walkout in terms of communicating with colleagues, with constituents, and with the maybe the Democratic leadership in Salem?
Well, what I've told people in kind of a humorous way is that when I was just a senator, I usually just had a few of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle mad at me. But when you are in leadership, everybody seems to be mad at you.
And what about the work that you're able to do from your remote location in terms of keeping track of what's going on and looking at things because, of course, committees have kept meeting, et cetera?
Well, we have a full staff that back at the Capitol, and they'd give me briefings several times a day of what was happening and things going on. And then we have caucus meetings by phone once a day, so we're in touch with all the members. So it really was wasn't that bad, you know.
So now the offer has come out this morning. Have you on the Republican side gotten an official response yet from the Democrats, or just in terms of what you're seeing out there on media sites, et cetera?
No, I've been talking to the Senate president, but it sounds like there's a lot of difference of opinion within his caucus. So I guess we're just waiting till they sort it out, but it's quite interesting to watch.
Obviously, Thursday, you've got a ways to go before Sunday, but then there's the logistical aspect. My guess is, though I don't know, that most of the Republicans that are out are in the adjacent states of Washington, Idaho, and California, or very close in other locations. But whether it's driving, flying, etc., if things are coming together to where Republicans are asked back and will come back on Sunday, for some folks, it's going to take them a day to get there, which means you've got to get an answer on this by sometime at least tomorrow.
Exactly. And I've already passed that on to the Senate president, and I'm pretty sure that Representative Grazin has passed that on to the speaker, that it does take some time for our folks to get back.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Senate Republican leader Herman Bertschinger, Grants Pass Republican, talking about what's going on in Salem. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. We're back in 1 minute on Inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock later. KQEN Local Talk at 4. Northwest Wine Radio today. Brian Calvert looking at wine, beer, and spirits from around the Pacific Northwest and beyond. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, we'll talk to the House Republican leader, Christine Drazen, who will be joining us for an update. And we've got the Senate Republican leader, Herman Bertschinger of Grants Pass, on with us right now. Herman, remind me, how long have you been a member of the legislature?
I'm in my 8th year right now.
And what led you to run the first time? What was the process for you to decide to stop doing other things maybe in life and take the move?
Well, the current senator we had was kind of not doing the best job representing the constituents, and a few of us got together and said, we probably need to find somebody to replace that individual, and we were having trouble finding it. And so one day over a brandy conversation, they looked at me and said, "Why don't you go do it, Herman?" So there you got it. Now you got the story, Kyle.
So talk about your background before getting in the legislature. What you did occupationally, et cetera.
I've owned a logging and trucking company for about 35 years, and I was kind of planning on retiring and taking it easy, but instead, I chose to go to the Capitol. I found it extremely interesting and extremely frustrating, but, there I am.
So do you still have that company to deal with as well?
No, my sons took over. The company downsized quite a bit. My sons took over a certain portion of it, but it's a lot smaller than it used to be, and so they're actually running it.
So what is it like, go back to the first session you were in as a member of the legislature versus now. How have things changed?
Oh, it's completely changed. So I'd say the first three or four years I was there, it was kind of rare to have a partisan vote on the floor on a bill. I mean, at least one or two Republicans would be on every single bill, but now it's all partisan. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's just, I don't know, the two parties are just, they're apart, it seems like, on everything anymore.
And do you feel like things have gotten more contentious as time has gone on?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, when you look at the national scene and see how dysfunctional the Congress is and the Senate, and I mean, they've been trying to go after the president ever since he took office, and I don't know. It's just it's crazy. It's just crazy, and I just don't understand it. It actually saddens me because it certainly doesn't have to be this way, but it is.
I imagine with your background in logging, you've got a special interest in this cap and trade issue.
Yeah, well, the cap and trade issue. First of all, it's a scheme. It's nothing more than a carbon tax. If you really want to do something for the environment, this is not the bill. This wouldn't do it. And so you got to, if Oregonians, when we poll them, they all want to do something about CO2. But when we say it's going to cost you $100, well, that diminishes immensely. They're not so interested. So we got to do something that doesn't cost Oregonians a lot of money. And that's why I've always said it, that we need to do things that incentivize people. Now, we've already done some of that, Kyle. We've had coal to clean legislation. We have clean fuel legislation. We have incentives for electrification, for solar power, for wind power. We have Oregon Trust, which helps you weatherize your home to save energy. Those are the things that we can do to reduce CO2, and it won't put a big, heavy burden on the average working family.
For this measure, you mentioned all the amendments. apparently a lot of complexities in the measure. Even an element that Senator Hurd has talked about, where he said there are a number of sort of secret aspects of the way the bill is put together, meaning if it goes into effect, some information is going to be hard for future lawmakers, for members of the media, and for others to ever find out.
That's right. There is. I'm gonna take a stab at this. I think it's Section 32 exempts Section 4 through Section 31 of public records requests, and that's where all the meat and potatoes are. So, yeah, nobody, once this thing is implemented, nobody will be able to, is it working? How much is it producing? Who's buying credits? Who's selling them? What are they worth? All of that would be exempt from public records request.
And have you ever seen something like that, that type of exemption in any other piece of legislation since you've been in Salem?
Never, never. In fact, when we did the BETSI program, which was the incentivized solar and wind power, after we did some public records requests on that, we found that there was all kinds of corruption and people actually went to jail. So that tells me, you know, why wouldn't you want this in this huge scheme too? Why wouldn't you want the ability to see if anybody's cheating? So it's a dirty piece of legislation, Kyle. It's horrible. There's nothing good about it. I'm sorry.
Have you heard any rumblings from any of the Democrats that you might talk with who maybe have privately said they're not as enthusiastic about it as well?
Well, Senator Johnson, she didn't vote for it. She didn't vote for it in Ways and Means. She won't vote for it on the floor. She's adamantly against it. But it's just, you know, there's something about this bill that for some reason I think it's, if it's ever implemented, it has a way of funding the Democrat election machine somehow. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something there.
Moving forward, however this plays out in the next few days and whatever happens with perhaps a special session later or not, when you look at a future session of the legislature with this back and forth between both parties, do you see it getting harder to work with each other?
Right now, it's extremely polarizing. It's really tough. And like I said, that saddens me because we're supposed to be there doing the people's business and not fighting. But I guess that's how it is. And it seems like what you're viewing at the national level has now spilled over into our state politics.
I would imagine as a leadership Republican, you're involved in trying to get more Republicans elected even in the current election cycle we're about to begin.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. I mean, that's politics. You know, you're trying to get more players on the field than the other team, that's for sure.
And what kind of work is being done by the GOP at this point to ask folks or seek out folks that might be interested in running for positions, particularly in areas where they have the greatest potential for scoring a Republican victory?
Yeah, that's been going on for some time, you know, getting candidates and screening candidates, stuff like that. So that's just an ongoing process that both sides do.
Are you hopeful, based on the way things look, heading into the May primary, being that not that far off, that there is a potential to pick up some seats this fall?
Yeah, I think there's a potential for, this isn't the greatest election cycle for us, the next one would be better, but I think there's a couple seats that we can pick up.
But is part of this just because we have this rural-urban divide in the way that Oregon seems to be voting these days?
Well, if we can get rural Oregonians to vote, that's our biggest problem with our constituents is to actually get them to vote, we would do a lot better, a lot better. The number, we have the numbers, it's just get them to the ballot.
And how do you work on improving that?
You know, we're just going to continue with get out the vote, call people, work through our PC, our precinct committee persons. And, just do the best. See, in the cities, it's easier because everybody, you know, you go, you, in the rural areas, it's harder because we all live far apart from one each other. So it's a little bit more difficult. But we've got to get the conversation going. And I have seen that we have kind of woken up rural Oregon. You've seen it with all the different grassroots movements. I spoke to about 600 people in Kaiser about a month ago. And I asked how many people have never been involved in politics before, and two-thirds of the people raised their hands. So people are getting more involved. They're paying attention. And I think all this media we get with cap and trade has really helped us with that, getting people to start waking up and realizing that they do have a responsibility. I've always said that politics is not a bystander sport. I mean, you've got to be involved. Everybody needs to be involved.
About 30 seconds left for folks listening. Explain your offer again for Republicans to return Sunday.
Yeah, we basically said that we would be glad to come in Sunday and work on budget fixes, emergency bills to help flood victims, stuff like that. And we could probably get that done in a half a day. And but I don't know where we stand.
All right, we'll wait for the response and find out more as we go through the next few days. Hermit Bertschinger represents the Grants Pass area Senate Republican leader on Inside Douglas County. Hermit, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle. You take care of yourself.
All right, 1257 at News Radio 1240 KQAN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Yeah.